Good afternoon. It's a pleasure to be here, and nice to see the outstanding turnout of tremendous law enforcement leaders with me. I want to specifically thank Colonel Repogel for hosting us today. Also, representatives from the Missouri School Board Association who are joining us today. We appreciate their consistent support and strong leadership to help us fight crime and make Missouri a safe place. As governor and as a former chief law enforcement officer of the state, public safety is a top priority of my administration. That's why I'm so pleased that this group of law enforcement leaders and educators is standing with me today to highlight the need for quick action to help keep our schools and communities safe. All across our state, at elementary schools and college campuses, hospitals and courthouses, libraries and power plants, thousands of dedicated men and women, like those joining me in this room, work hard to develop, maintain, and execute security plans to keep Missourians safe. Standing behind me are representatives of local law enforcement at the police chief level, county law enforcement at the sheriff's level, from as far away as Jackson County, Grundy County, and members of our state highway patrol. All of these folks working together fight to make Missouri a safer place. Now, these folks work hard to execute, maintain, and execute security plans that help keep Missourians safe. These plans might be as simple as an emergency evacuation route and a muster point, or as complex as a campus-wide lockdown procedures. Whatever the case, these procedures must not be allowed to fall into the hands of those who could use them to harm our citizens or harm our critical infrastructure. You don't hand the keys to your house or the code for the alarm to the burglar. That's why for nearly a decade, the Missouri Sunshine Law has included a specific exemptions that protect the integrity of sensitive safety and security procedures at facilities such as schools, courthouses, hospitals, and power plants. Initially passed in the wake of 9/11, these provisions represent a proven and balanced approach to keeping security plans out of the hands of criminals and terrorists, while respecting the bedrock principles of transparency and accountability. In addition to providing for the confidentiality of emergency response and security procedures at public facilities, these laws also allow private entities to share sensitive security information with their local first responders, information that can save lives in the event of an emergency. Unfortunately, these important protections expired at the end of last year and now must be reinstated by the Missouri General Assembly. Now is not the time to undermine the shared efforts of school officials, law enforcement, fire personnel, and first responders to enhance our readiness over the past decade by weakening laws that protect our communities. The sensitive security procedures that protect our kids, our communities, and our critical infrastructure from criminals and terrorists quite simply do not need to be in the public domain. These narrowly tailored exemptions have worked and should continue to work to prevent our open records laws from being misused by those who could employ this information for malicious purposes. So today, all of us across the state, law enforcement, educators, and others, are calling on the General Assembly to work quickly once the session resumes next week and send a bill to my desk that reinstates these protections very quickly so that a process that has been working, that has led to a safer society while balancing the needs to know out there, is continued. With that, I'll be glad to take any questions that the press may have. I mean, I understand the theory behind sunsets, so that there can be continued looks at those sort of things. I think this is one that after 10 years and a lot of work, a lot of good, solid work on the law enforcement and the public side has worked. That'd be up to folks in the legislature. I quite frankly think it's a good exemption. It ought to be there. I don't see the need for a – I think what's more important is getting an emergency clause on the bill as opposed to a sunset clause. We need to get this done. I mean, we actually thought this measure was going to get passed last year. I mean, it was introduced. It moved through both House and Senate. We anticipated that it would get done. Quite frankly, it was one of those things that I didn't put a tremendous amount of attention on because there wasn't a great deal of consternation about it. It's a system that had matured and was working. As we looked at what was happening at the end of the year and laws that were going off the books, you know, I was like a lot of other folks. I quite frankly thought this one had been done, and it hadn't been.
You have a feeling that our schools are in danger right now?
No, I think that I think the legislature needs to move, and I think they need to move in a bipartisan way quickly and get this bill to my desk. I think that we can all go through our heads with example after example after example of if evacuation procedures were out in public, if security procedures were out in public, how folks with ill intent could use those to the detriment of our kids and others. And I think that if the legislature moves quickly, that this short window will not provide a window into the security procedures. So I just ask the legislature to move quickly. Anybody else?
Governor, on a different topic for you, the legislature has introduced legislation to reinstate the medical malpractice, non-economic damage limits. Should those caps be reinstated in your mind?
Well, I mean, I want to look at the method. I mean, I think that you got to look at the court case and see which is the best method to do that, whether statutory or constitutional. But I think getting some predictability into the upper end is not. I mean, we had caps before. That system was allowed us. I think what you need there is predictability in that insurance market. So I'm not philosophically opposed, limitation on that. Those were originally moved forward many years ago, some of the caps things, when I was back in the legislature. So I think there's a reasonable but I think that it's got to be done correctly, and it has to be done at the right levels. No, I'm not philosophically opposed. Anybody else?
How often have you talked with lawmakers about pushing this forward and getting this on your desk?
Yeah, we've had good preliminary discussion with a number of members. I had a good discussion, for example, this morning with the fellow that handled the extension a few years ago from Jefferson County, Jeff Rorter, that was just reelected, who was a key player back when we got it reauthorized 5 years ago. And we'll continue to work with the legislature and both parties. Our hope is that this is something that they see as something that can get done on their to-do list very quickly in the session. It would be nice to get it done quickly. I think there's bipartisan support for it. My hope and expectation is that this is a measure that gets to my desk very quickly. Anybody else? Once again, I want to thank the patrol and all these law enforcement folks. As you can see by the level of turnout we have here, this is serious business. Protecting our kids is serious business. Keeping evacuation plans and security plans out of the hands of the bad guys is serious business. 10 years ago, we dealt with this issue. When we responded as part of our broad response to 9/11 to enact these provisions. 5 years ago, they were reinstated. It's my hope and expectation that the legislature gets this done, gets it done quickly, gets it on my desk, and we get these provisions of necessary public safety laws back in force. Thank you all very, very much.